If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at tntradio.live. This is World Stage with Bruce DeTorres on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Exposing the tyrannies and exploring our power with deep dives into history, current events, dangerous trends, and the nature of reality. Last week, March 3rd, one of my guests was Dr. Kat Lindley, a Croatian-born, American-trained, board-certified family physician in Texas, who discussed the direct primary care practice model that she uses. It's a membership that lets her and other doctors who use this model give patients the tender, loving care that used to be the ideal. We also discussed the harms of the corporate model, whereby doctors are employees incentivized to rush through clients. She didn't say that. That's my conclusion and observation. And we talked about the tyranny of mandates, which she called proof that Americans have lost their rights when they comply. She grew up in Croatia, communist influence, communist in actuality. And she was appalled and is appalled and raises the alarm of the kind of loss of freedom we Americans have voluntarily thrown to the wind and don't know enough to care enough to fight for. And we also talked about the organizations equipping people with life-saving, freedom-preserving truths about the COVID shots, the World Health Organization. Her organizations that she's participated in, and I believe she founded one of these, are globalhealthproject.org and globalcovidsummit.org. And she recommended the sovereigntycoalition.org, no the, just sovereigntycoalition.org, and also doortofreedom.org as resources for freedom-loving people to get up off their knees and be Americans, which in my definition are people who say, give me liberty or give me death. On March 8th, Sean Cain posted at thatsenoughoutofyou.squarespace.com this blog. What would the world look like if JFK was not assassinated? The latest episode of That's Enough Out of You podcast with Monica Wiesack led to a discussion of the question of what would the world look like if JFK was not assassinated. Sean writes, I can tell you this, it would be much different today if Kennedy's policies continued into a second term and then was continued by two terms by RFK. First of all, Sean Cain writes, we know JFK was pulling the advisors out of Vietnam, but any serious researcher knows that JFK would not have put 500,000 combat troops in Vietnam like LBJ did. The destruction to the country of Vietnam and later to Laos and Cambodia, plus the damage done to America, would not have happened. The genocide going on in Palestine would not be happening. JFK did not want Israel to get nuclear weapons. This alone would have guaranteed that Gaza would not be under attack, the attack that it is today. LBJ and Nixon did not have the same relationship with Israel that JFK had. JFK's Middle East policy, Sean Cain writes, would change the look of that entire region, would have changed the look. His association, with Nasser and Egypt and not Saudi Arabia would ensure a different look. Sean Cain writing in What the World Would Look Like If JFK Was Not Assassinated. The coup in Indonesia, which led to between 500,000 and 1.5 million killed, would not have happened under JFK. He had a relationship with Sukarno that LBJ did not have. The coup in Brazil in 1964 would not have happened. JFK was against the military coup in the Dominican Republic that LBJ later backed to keep in power. Domestically, so many things would look different if JFK lived. His administration did not serve industry. His tax policies were different. He wanted to rein in the power of the Federal Reserve that he felt led to two recessions and contributed to a third. His handling of the FDA possibly could have prevented events like the opioid crisis that we talked about on a past episode. Sean Kane writes about his podcast, That's Enough Out of You. The civil rights, here we are. His environmental policies all changed after his death as well. The civil rights movement would not be marginalized like it is today. When you really look at things objectively, Sean Kane writes in this blog, everything changed in all areas around the globe. JFK wanted to end the Cold War earlier. He wanted peace with Cuba and the Soviet Union. He was the last president to say no to the Pentagon and to the military. These are the things that academia and the mainstream media will not tell you about JFK. The reason is that once you understand this, then one understands why he was assassinated. You also understand why no president since has tried to do anything the Kennedy way. So, while the jackals give you lies about JFK and the mafia and his womanizing, the That's Enough Out of You podcast will continue to give you the truth. On November 22nd, 1963, JFK was not only murdered, but the office of the presidency was as well. Someone can say to me, this is all speculation. Well, when a policy is the opposite of another policy, so is the outcome of that policy. And that was written by Sean Kane, published on March 8th. What the world would look like if JFK was not assassinated. Findable at thatsenoughoutofyou.com, .squarespace.com. And he and his partner, Bill, have been my guest on this show a couple of times, and they are indefatigable and very, very likable truth tellers and non-BS tolerators. On January 14th, Lurie Rosca published Unrestricted Warfare, A Holistic Approach to the Great Reset. And Meryl Nass just reposted this on March 8th, yesterday. And she called this the best overall description of what's happening in the world at her Substack, merylnass.substack.com, MERYLNASS. She's a doctor if you do not know her. After this show, run to that site and see what she's posting. Truths that can protect our health and also inspire us to resist and stop and reverse the tyranny that has overcome America and much of the West. But this article by Lurie Rosca, Unrestricted Warfare, A Holistic Approach to the Great Reset. And she said that he just interviewed her yesterday, and he's a retired politician from Moldova. And he writes, dear friends, last year, the international team of Chisinau Forum, which brings together many intellectuals, authors, scholars, experts, and journalists from different countries who are strongly engaged in the struggle against world tyranny of a malign globalist elite, did excellent work. Our main event, which was held from 9th to the 10th September, was the Chisinau Forum 2023 with the title UN Agenda 21 and the Great Reset, the Fall from Liberalism to Technocracy and Transhumanism. We spread this event over 4 months by publishing regularly twice a week the speeches of each participant. And now is the time to prepare for our next international meeting. And now here is his article, Unrestricted Warfare, A Holistic Approach to the Great Reset. State of War as Permanent Reality. This is the article Meryl Nass reshared, calling it the best overall description of what's happening in the world. State of War as Permanent Reality. The total assault of the shadow power, which had already been going on for many years, gained a great acceleration in 2020. That was the launch year of a special operation called the COVID-19 pandemic. which aimed at the mass extermination of the world's population and genetic modification, as well as impoverishment and subjugation of the survivors. This state of alert, prompted by an event of unprecedented severity in history, requires a complex, exhaustive, and deep analysis, because the very survival of the human species is at stake. The urgent need for an adequate examination of the state of the world today also calls us to formulate solutions that would offer us a chance of avoiding a rapid and irremediable terminal catastrophe. So, we are in a state of war. The aggressor does not represent a state or a group of states, but constitutes a vast network of private, supranational entities, guided not only by a thirst for absolute power and the establishment of a world tyranny, but primarily by deep spiritual motives of an evil nature. The targets of these forces are all the nations of the world, all human beings, the rivalries between them being simply part of the strategy of domination. Among the key characteristics that distinguish today's state of war from classical ones is that it is undeclared, having no such legitimate actors as two belligerent parties represented by states. The enemy is covert, subversive in nature, and attacks its victims with a gamut of unconventional weapons which are not perceived by the target nations as acts of military hostility. In such a case, the golden rule of The Art of War by Sun Tzu is brought to perfection. Quote, through you we learn to be invisible, through you inaudible, and hence we can hold the enemy's fate in our hands. Unquote. The tactics of dissimulation and the applying of a veneer of scientific respectability and of supposed moral responsibility for the fate of the world make the masters of this deadly game virtually invulnerable. At the crux of the massive force of world influence lies the economic, technological, media, and cultural cognitive power that annihilates any capacity for complex understanding and effective resistance on the part of states and nations. The enemy of mankind is extremely sophisticated, perfectly equipped with an enormous number of instruments, and capable of playing a fateful game for the whole world, while keeping up its show of innocence and good intentions. The mask of respectability on the face of international institutions. This beautiful piece by Luri Roska that Meryl Nass reposted. The mask of respectability on the face of international institutions. The enemies of humanity operate through international organizations perceived as neutral and beneficial to states and peoples, such as the UN, WHO, IMF, World Bank, Bank for International Settlements, BIS, World Trade Organization, Gavi, UNESCO, UNICEF, the EU, NATO, etc. And as accomplices in this enormous open conspiracy appear the governments of the world's states that have become the puppets of these occult forces. Sidebar, occult simply means hidden. And those accomplices are political regimes that contribute to the genocide of the peoples they govern. The overwhelming influence on a world and national scale of that real power archipelago is disseminated and exercised through a myriad of secret and semi-secret societies such as Freemasonry, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, otherwise known as Chatham House, the Tavistock Institute, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Club of Rome, the Bilderberg Group, the Trilateral Commission, the World Economic Forum, etc. Non-military wars as strategy of domination. Among the enormous array of non-military wars waged by these demonic elites are the following: religious war, civilizational war, economic war, cognitive war, cultural war, ideological, psychological, media, biological, genetic, racial, immigratory, geophysical, climate, cyber, electromagnetic war, demographic war, feminist war, gender war, transgender war, intergenerational war, etc. In parallel, hot wars are being instigated, such as those in Ukraine and the Gaza Strip, intended to contribute to the controlled demolition of the world economy, to the disaggregation of the functional capacities of states, and to the resetting of the world on the basis of a new world order. As the final blow to annihilate states and human freedom, the satanic elites have been priming us for decades for an interplanetary war arising from an extraterrestrial invasion and the myth of UFOs to fulfill the Blue Beam Project, which will appear as the terminal phase of triumph of the New World Order. This was the beginning, and there is more, of this piece called Unrestricted Warfare, A Holistic Approach to the Great Reset, by Lurie Roska, reposted yesterday by Meryl Nass. And she describes him as a retired politician from Moldova. And her Substack, where you can find this and much, much more, is MerylNass.substack. And now here is important information from today's News Talk, TNT.
TNT's Jason Olborn.
What that sneaky World Health Organization, that private organization linked to the United Nations, is planning to do to take away yours and my medical sovereignty. Or pretending that they're not going to, of course, because it just so happens that they have got the ability to look into a crystal ball, see around corners, and tell us that there is yet another virus or disease or sickness coming for us, and the only way that we survive it is to do exactly what Tedros tells us to do, even though the man's not even a doctor. Can't even tell his own Ethiopian country on three separate occasions, goodness me, that they have had a cholera outbreak. Cholera characterized by acute watery diarrhea that, if not diagnosed correctly, can result in death. Well, on three occasions, Tedros's answer was, we didn't have good enough testing or testing available, so we didn't really know that it was cholera. That's the guy who's leading the world.
Weekends with Jason Olborn on today's News Talk, TNT.
The Irish government is proposing a law known as the Hate Speech Bill that threatens free speech. This law could have dire consequences for our democracy.
Next month, and then on to the next week.
This law will have uncertain effects on artistic and musical expression. Please support us. It could stifle the activity of public campaigning on political and civil issues, and also curtail speech relating to topics about religion, ethnicity, sex, and gender.
You could even be jailed for possessing documents, cartoons, or memes on your devices, even if you never read them or intended on sharing them. Mere possession could make you a criminal under this law. Help stop this law. Visit www.freespeechireland.ie/take action to bin the hate speech bill.
I'm your retirement fear. But don't be scared. You're still in pre-retirement.
Pre-retirement? Does that mean I have more time to plan?
Precisely. Here, this is pretirement.org. Huh.
Retirement savings options?
Oh.
Potential tax breaks?
Yep. Boo.
Oh, I could build up savings for my side hustle. This isn't scary. I'm doing it.
You got this.
Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan.
Many pollution sources can affect the air you breathe, from power plants and vehicles to dust and wildfires. Knowing more about local air quality can help you protect your health. If you're thinking about buying an air sensor, EPA has a series of videos to help you get the most out of it. Learn how EPA collects and uses regulatory data, how EPA communicates health messaging, and how to interpret the readings from your sensor. Visit epa.gov/air-sensor-toolbox.
You are about to hear
today's news talk and the voice of freedom.
That's what this country's all about.
Toolbox.
You are about to hear
today's news talk and the voice of freedom.
That's what this country's all about.
TNT Radio.
At TNT Radio, we never go home. We are committed to bringing you our take on the biggest topics of our time. We broadcast live 24/7 online globally, no matter what. We've got you covered here on today's News Talk, TNT. With me now is Dr. Jim Thorpe, an obstetrician, gynecologist, and maternal fetal medicine physician who has served his patients for over 44 years. On his freedomintruth.substack.com, his posts include COVID-19 and the Unraveling of Experimental Medicine, COVID-19 Vaccines, the Impact on Pregnancy Outcomes and Menstrual Function, and the COVID-19 Vaccines and Beyond, What the Medical Industrial Complex is Not Telling Us. He is the Chief of Maternal and Prenatal Health for the wellness company, TWC.Health, where he is focused on optimizing outcomes in women of reproductive age, pregnant women, preborns, and newborns. The Wellness Company is a parallel healthcare well-care system helping hundreds of thousands of people heal and live their lives as the healthiest version of themselves. Jim, thank you so much for joining me again. How are you today?
Bruce, I'm so blessed to be on your platform, and thanks for having me back on.
Thank you. For folks seeing you, meeting you for the very, very first time, I'll briefly describe and then ask you to give a bit about your background, why you got into medicine, your love of it, and then, of course, devastatingly, how your world and ours was turned upside down by COVID. But in researching COVID since the beginning, the spring of April 2020, I forget, but it was early when I first saw you on some interview or some video of you testifying in front of some committee, some maybe legislative body. And I've followed you since and had you on a month or two ago for the very, very first time. And you are documenting with verifiable facts and figures a reality that not only is horrible, but it contradicts the mainstream message. And that's my heart and soul, is to talk to people like you to get just the truth of reality out there, because without that, we are living a nightmare. So comment on any of that, or give a, as brief or as long as an explanation, summary, whatever, of what medicine and healthcare, this precious sacred thing that it is and should be, and what you saw that it became under COVID, and how your conscience compelled you to work to get the truth out.
Yeah, thank you. Bruce, it has been just a tragedy. It's almost like we're living in two parallel universes, with the truth and those who choose to live in deception and in a lie. And I think the best way for me to summarize it up is almost 45 years now, I've been delivering and involved with obstetrical care. And we've always had the golden rule of pregnancy that has never been violated. I've always looked up to the institutions. There's three institutions that really are governing bodies of obstetrical care. I'll say in the United States of America, but I really mean the world, because as goes these three institutions, so goes the world. Because we're leaders in America. And these three institutions are, number one, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, ACOG, A-C-O-G. the American Board of Obstetrics and Gynecology, ABOG, and the Society for Maternal Fetal Medicine, SMFM. So these three governing bodies, really, I've always looked up to, I've served, and they have honored me tremendously throughout my lengthy career, you know, including many teaching awards, many research awards. I was on the board of directors for the Society for Maternal Fetal Medicine. And then when they came out, and they essentially, American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists was captured by illegal, unethical monies from our government in early 2021. And my wife, an attorney, Maggie Thorpe, Esquire, JD, and I proved that with a Freedom of Information Act request. And that is published actually last year in May. It took us quite a long time to get those documents, but Maggie got them. And those documents prove that, in essence, ACOG, American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, who essentially governs 60,000 OBGYN physicians, including essentially all of them in Canada, all of them in United States of America, and multiple countries in South America. So they were captured by millions of dollars, signing an underhanded, under the table, secret covenant with death, unconstitutional, locking them in and all 60,000 OBGYN physicians on two continents to a death narrative of the HHS, the US government, Centers for Disease Control, and the Department of Health and Human Services. We proved that with a Freedom of Information Act request. So these three organizations that have honored me my entire career, now I refer to as, it's all over my Twitter account, the unholy trinity of the mother-baby death cult. The unholy trinity of the mother-baby death cult. That's the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, the American Board of Obstetrics and Gynecology, and the Society for Maternal Fetal Medicine. And on my ex account, JATHORPMFM, as in maternal fetal medicine, you can see the pictures of the leaders of these three organizations. I want that to be made public, because to this very day, these three institutions that set the precedent for the world are pushing the most lethal, injurious medication ever rolled out to humanity, to the most vulnerable population. That's pregnant women, preborns, and newborns.
Thank you. And one, I'm indulging this pause right here, Jim, because of the reality of the enormity of the importance and significance of what you just described. If we were sitting around a campfire and you had just told me that, I wouldn't say a thing in order to allow you to deal with the unbearable or maybe precious pressure of the silence to comment further. That's my request of you.
You know, thank you. It's very tragic for me to see, because fortunately or unfortunately, depending how you look at it, I'm lean to the personality type as a physician of an empath, kind of the total opposite of a sociopath, right? I'm on that scale of empath. And, you know, that's not necessarily a good thing. You know, if I, you know, were dialed down a little bit more towards that spectrum, if you will, I would be able to deal with this a little bit better. But, you know, I've delivered a sacred care to my patients, my pregnant women, for almost 45 years now. And I of utmost importance to me is the sanctity of the physician-patient relationship.
Speaking of what you've delivered, just to get newcomers to you and me in this conversation up to speed, in case they thought I was a little overdramatic there, how many babies have you delivered, and what is the extent of the injury and deaths by the COVID shots?
Yeah, and very, very important questions. I've delivered thousands of babies, but I am a board certified obstetrician and gynecologist by the American Board of Obstetrics and Gynecology. And I'm also a board certified subspecialist of OBGYN called maternal fetal medicine. So I will say that over the last 10 years in my practice, and in the practice around the country, although there's 60,000 OBGYN physicians in ACOG, my specialty is extremely rare. So, you know, there's only about 1,200 or 1,400 practicing maternal fetal medicine physicians. So we, the vast majority of us now, have allowed the OBGYN physicians and the nurse midwives to do the deliveries, because quite honestly, that's probably the least important part of the pregnancy. The most important part is managing a high risk pregnancy and then determining the crucial decision of when to deliver that baby. Those are the important things. You know, a monkey can deliver a baby, but to make the decision of optimizing the outcome during pregnancy by sophisticated ultrasound imaging, by certain medications or hospitalizations, and then the important crucial issue of when do you deliver? Say, for example, at you know, 24 weeks of gestation, if you deliver a baby because you think it needs to be delivered, that's a very, very serious thing with a high risk of morbidity and mortality. So most of the maternal fetal medicine physicians now are supporting our clients as not only the patients, if you will, but also the general OBGYN doctors, to help them make and guide them in making those crucial decisions. So most of us haven't been, but I will say this, that I was employed by one of the largest Catholic healthcare systems in the United States of America, in the world, almost a $10 billion system, called the Sisters of St. Mary's Health System out of St. Louis, Missouri. And they are actually purchased St. Louis University. So it's SSM Health and St. Louis University. And in my stint with them before I was fired, I was the number one producer. I saw more patients in my division of maternal fetal medicine by far and away. I saw 27,500 high-risk OB patients just in the last 4.5 years of my tenure with them. Now, I saw five times more than my younger, more junior partners. The only individual that came close to me was the director of the division, and I saw twice as many patients as he did. So I was the most published, the most experienced, and according to many of my colleagues and colleagues that I worked with, the most loved. Now, they had to fire me, and they fired me last summer because of the fact that the fact is that I testified in the United States Senate in Ron Johnson's roundtable. I've been seen on hundreds, if not a thousand platforms like yours, including Tucker Carlson. So Maggie and I proved that, and this was published in December of this past year on the America Out Loud platform, that the U.S. government has bribed with $182 billion, that's billion dollars, $182 billion with a B dollars, to capture over 4,000 healthcare systems nationally. and one of them targeted. Well, they've all been. You can go to that paper, and anybody wanting to see how much their local hospitals took, you can go to that article and figure it out. But SSM Health took $306.9 million in early 2021. So they too were captured, as are all of the other healthcare systems in the United States of America. So they had to fire me, even though they love me, even though I made them the most money of any other healthcare system. And, you know, Mr. Kevin Ellidge, the CEO, got on the phone with me. And of course, I would never record the phone call, because that's actually illegal to do in the state of Florida. So I would never do that. But my wife was present, and we took copious notes, and he praised me for 30 minutes, didn't understand why he was firing me, but told me that I was being fired for no cause, and praised me for 30 minutes that I was a model physician. Well, he lied. He told a fib. He said they were firing me for they were having financial issues. Well, I was their number one revenue generator, so he was lying. They fired me because HHS and CDC gave them a call and said, Thorpe is making a lot of noise, and you either pay back that $306.9 million or you terminate Thorpe. So, of course, they had to do the logical thing and terminate me. They also tried to bribe me with about $100,000 to sign a non-disparagement clause, which is the most strict non-disparagement clause that my wife, attorney Maggie, has ever seen in her career. Of course, I didn't take that money as much as we needed it. So the point is that I was fired for doing my job. And what I saw clinically is devastation. I saw a massive increase in infertility, a massive increase in every obstetrical complication you could imagine.
Well, that is, thank you very much for that very, very thorough bio to establish your credibility, which is vital in order to impress those who are still hearing, believing, and let alone spreading the mainstream version that is literally killing us. With me is Dr. Jim Thorpe, who can be followed at freedomandtruth.substack.com. More to come. Here is important information from today's news talk, TNT.
With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Was it something he said? Could it possibly have been something he said? I'm sure it's completely coincidental that fewer than 48 hours after New York City Mayor Eric Adams wandered off the Proglodyte Plantation, decrying the invasion of New York City by illegal aliens, that the top-to-bottom corrupt FBI raided not one, not two, but three of his longtime campaign aides' homes. Adams is now in trouble with the left because he had the temerity to point out that having the status of a sanctuary city hasn't worked out so well for the residents of his city. We always want to support good behavior and reward it in order to encourage more of it. So we're standing with Eric Adams on this issue, and we think that you should too. We need to stop illegal aliens from coming to our country. We need to stop paying them thousands of dollars in healthcare costs, housing costs, food costs, and educational costs. They're here, of course, to crash all those systems and to destroy America from within. Just say no to people who hate America. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for today's News Talk, TNT.
I'm Cal Fire Battalion Chief Isaac Sanchez. And normally we like to provide you with tips on how to keep yourselves and your family safe during wildfires. But given the historic impacts that the weather has had on our state this year, we would like to provide you with tips on how to keep yourself safe during extreme weather. If you reside in an area susceptible to flooding, please take the necessary steps to prepare to evacuate if advised. Make sure you've identified at least two exit routes out of your neighborhood, as one of them may be blocked or flooded. As the weather develops, Remember to check in on vulnerable neighbors and family members. They may need additional time to prepare for evacuation. And just like during a wildfire, if you feel unsafe, please evacuate. You don't have to wait for the order to come. Keep an emergency go bag ready in case you need to evacuate. And always remember to plan for the safety of your pets as well. If you must leave, never drive around roadblocks. It can take as little as 12 inches of water to sweep your vehicle away. And always remember the mantra, turn around, don't drown. Be aware of first responders working in highly impacted areas, especially on the roads. For additional safety tips and updates on CAL FIRE activities, follow us on social media or visit fire.ca.gov.
You're listening to Bruce DeTorres on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And with me is Dr. Jim Thorpe, who is Chief of Maternal and Prenatal Health for the wellness company, TWC.health. Go there and see the amazing things that they provide people. Jim, do you happen to recall the title or even part of it of the piece you and your wife, Maggie Thorpe, Esquire, published in December 23 on America Out Loud? People can search it and find it. The article about the money to capture organizations, just the title if you happen to have it.
I don't have it right in front of me, but that's in essence what the title is. If you go to the America Out Loud platform, attorney Maggie, my beautiful wife and myself, have published about 15 articles over as many past months. And on America Out Loud, I would say that the most recent article that we published this month is a bombshell. It's very important. The one in January was how the government captured not all of the leaders of faith, and not just the churches, but the synagogues and the temples of all faiths. And in December was the article where we documented how they captured all of the hospitals. And these are easy to read. These are medical legal briefs that are not too technical. So they're very important. And then the one about the FOIA of the Freedom of Information Act, in which HHS CDC captured the American College of OBGYN as May of 2023. Those are on the America Out Loud platform and can be searched for, but they're very important and relevant articles.
You remind me, what do you know of? Maybe you're well aware of it. The COVID Litigation 2 conference in Vegas, I think right now or yesterday. Were you aware of that?
No, I'm not aware of that one. I was supposed to be at a meeting with Dr. McCullough and many others up in Atlanta, which unfortunately I couldn't make. But
maybe that was the last year. Was that last year?
Which one?
Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Well, I was asked. Okay, great. Well, I just was. I'm not surprised you prepared. You know, something similar like that with Dr. McCullough. Back to following up your great depiction of your credibility when it comes like this, and the treasure trove of posts that you and your wife Maggie have put at the America Out Loud platform. The question I asked earlier, or whatever you want to share with me, but I think it'd be great right now for folks like, again, you know, who are meeting you for the first time, for you to describe the extent of the injuries and death. Maybe primarily to the cohort that you are intimately involved with, or the population at large, the injuries and the problems and the deaths caused by these shots.
Sure. And I'll start with this. You know, people might say to me, Dr. Thorpe, how can you call them murderers? The American College of OBGYN, the American Board of OBG Obstetrics and Gynecology, and the Society for Maternal Fetal Medicine. Well, it's very easy. It's not Jim Thorpe. It's Pfizer's own data. If you go back and you look at Pfizer's own data, their 90-day rollout, which was available actually to the whole world in early 2021, It's not Jim Thorpe calling them murderers. It's Pfizer's own data. If you look at page 7 of the Pfizer 5.3.6 document that they tried to hide for 75 years, it's the deadliest, most injurious drug ever rolled out to in the history of the world. It's a bioweapon. There were 42,082 casualties or adverse events. And of those, there were 1,223 dead in just 10 weeks.
And then while they were doing it, when and what was that period of time? When was that period of time?
Just 10 weeks from December of 2020 to February 28th, 2021.
That all happened as their shot rolled out.
Right. And that data, really, you know, we've never used causation, never, ever used causation to take a vaccine or a drug off the market, just association. But here's what I'll say. If you look at those 1,223 deaths in that first 10 weeks, they meet partial criteria of causation by the Bradford Hill criteria, because a significant proportion of those died temporarily related within 48 hours of the vaccine, say probably about 40% died, and probably much higher, maybe as high as 60 or 80% died within 2 weeks of that vaccine. So,
and not only does that situation not only convicts those as murderers, it convicts the systems that are meant to serve us and protect us as collaborators, equally guilty and completely corrupt, right?
That's absolutely correct. On page 12.
Because subsequent to those revelations, we've had 3 more years of marketing safe and effective.
Mm-hmm. And they're still pushing it. And that's why I have no shame and I have no remorse or no regret. And I will not stop calling these three organizations who are still pushing the most lethal, injurious drug ever put out in the most vulnerable population, my pregnant women, preborns, and newborns. They are the unholy trinity of the mother-baby death cult. And I will continue to call them that. And, you know, let them come after me for defamation. There's a great defense for defamation. You know what it's called, Bruce? It's called the truth.
Yeah. How often are you posting at America Out Loud, or what is most urgently that you're studying, just worldwide phenomenon or any even personal, you know, editorial comment? Which part of this do you want to explore in pursuit of the widest audience?
Well, I think that our most recent article that went viral just in the last week on the America Out Loud platform, what we detail is over the course of 3 years, the extreme lies that the government and the three organizations that are killing and injuring pregnant women, babies globally have perpetrated. And it's very simple. We take a walk, and it's heavily cited through, you know, 3 years ago, we were mocked and laughed at when we suggested that the mRNA of the vaccine doesn't stay in the arm. It may go throughout the body. We were mocked and laughed at. We suggested that, you know, there could be some serious genetic consequences of that. We were laughed at. Yet 2 years ago this month, Alden and colleagues published an article proving that the vaccine mRNA was reverse transcribed into a human liver cell. That's in Northern Europe, by Alden and colleagues 2 years ago. Now, that was in the lab. But then later that year, we have Hanna and colleagues who proved that it was excreted in breast milk, intact mRNA vaccine. And in the subsequent year, the same group of investigators on a second study in 2023 documented the exact same thing. And then earlier this year in the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology, okay, they published just in the last month by Lynn and colleagues they published that the vaccine mRNA not only traverses a placenta, which we knew, it goes into fetal blood, which we know, and it goes into the placenta, which we knew, I've been talking about for 3 years, and it goes into the inner tissues of the womb, which are immediately juxtaposed to the baby and the membrane, called the decidua. Not only does the mRNA go to those places, it's bioactive. They proved it produces the lethal bioweapon spike protein. And if that weren't bad enough, we have the first evidence. It's not a smoking gun, but I believe that it probably will be later this year, from Mikhail Rejac, a PhD geneticist, who owns a couple of genetic companies. One is Meronomics, who reports the first evidence that it appears the mRNA vaccine appears to be permanently reverse transcribed into the human genome or the human DNA. Now, Bruce, I can't tell you how serious this is. That's for a somatic cell, the normal regular cells in the body. But if the same thing probably is occurring in the gamete cells, what are gamete cells? Are the cells that have half the number of chromosomes that are responsible for reproducing the human race. That's sperm and ova. So it's probably reverse transcribed permanently into ova and sperm. And if that's the case, God forbid, it will likely be permanently transgenerationally incorporated into humankind from here on out.
Doing what to doing what to humankind?
Well, producing a lethal bioweapon called spike protein is very possible.
Thank you.
This is an extraordinary evolution ontology of blatant lies. And so we outline that in simple terms in this piece that was published 6 days ago on the America Out Loud platform, and it went viral.
So around March 3rd.
This was Sunday, on Sunday, just 6 days ago.
That was the 5th, and that was, or the 4th. That was the 3rd, actually, or whatever.
And I won't waste your time pulling it up, but it's a, you know, and I think that, you know, the other study that I would pull up to you that's been completely consistent with my extensive clinical experience, and I would challenge any physician out there who has my experience in obstetrics, who has my publications in obstetrics, who has seen as many patients as I have at my age and experience that I just reviewed with you, about almost 28,000 patients in the last 4 years, to challenge me and debate with me that this is a safe, effective, and necessary drug in pregnancy. It's the exact opposite. But our study that Dr. McCullough and I and Claire Price and four other authors published a year ago in the Journal of the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, we used the government's own data. We used their own data, and we analyzed it exactly by their very biased methods to show safety of vaccines. We used their methods, which is comparing a novel vaccine to a safe and effective vaccine. That's an illegitimate way to do it because it always favors the novel vaccine. Be that as it may, we did exactly as they did, and we looked at 19 adverse events. One of them was abnormal menstruation, and the other 18 were all major pregnancy complications. Now, the FDA and the CDC use a safety signal of called a reporting ratio, a proportional risk ratio, if you will, comparing the two vaccines. And they state that a risk of a PRR of 2 or greater is their safety signal breach. So what we found was far in excess in these 19 adverse events, these injuries, far in excess of 2. Many of them way above 10, many of them way above 100, some of them up to 1,000. And, you know, for example, you know, we looked at menstruation, abnormal menstruation in the influenza, in the COVID vaccine compared to the influenza vaccine. There was a 1,200-fold greater risk. And that's a good surrogate for infertility, by the way. If you look at miscarriage.
Jim, we've got 1 minute left. What would you emphasize or repeat or tell me?
Don't ever trust the healthcare systems. They're bribed. Don't ever trust the healthcare physicians and nurses. They're bribed. They're still collecting their paychecks. Go to the wellness company.
TWC.health. Yeah. And also your Substack, but also search your publications and Maggie Thorpe's on America Out Loud and tell yourself, everybody, you can handle the truth. Dr. Jim Thorpe, thank you so much. This is the awesome and incredible Today's News Talk, TNT.